good evening. Delani Amon here, live in the studio. How's everyone doing? Welcome to Transformations Plus, my Friday night escape into the real world of Harambe. How's everybody doing out there? Supposed to have a brother on tonight from Thailand, Noam Bon. Let's see if he is going to be able to connect. He's 12 hours away and a whole bunch of miles from the U.S. of A. But he wanted to come on, and we want to do that tonight, have him on, and he wants to come back and see whether he can fit in with the Harambe Radio Network. So how's everybody doing out there as we wait along for Brother Noam Bon out of Philadelphia? Usually that's where we normally hook up at the LOX conference. And for many years he was on Monday night here on Harambe. So just looking back over the years, man, it's been a whole bunch of stuff, especially this past year. I don't want to talk about it too much, but most of you know that I had eye surgery and was out for a little bit, and just now getting back in, I'm walking around, couldn't see out of my right eye for most of the year. I was legally blind, couldn't drive, couldn't do much, but I'm feeling my way back little by little, talking to more and more people every day that are contacting me, trying to figure out what the heck went wrong. And I don't know, I think sometimes when life is very good and things go very well, every once in a while something will jump in there, and then you have to deal with that and see what you're really made of. So I'm hoping that all of you folks out there are taking care of yourself and doing the right thing. Even in spite of me and my diligence about health and nutrition, I did find out that, you know, sometimes you can be doing things a certain way. Like for me, I was a big-time fruit eater, but I didn't know that if you're not paying attention, too much fruit can be bad for you under certain circumstances. So if you are out there, we got to kind of balance out that diet a little bit. And so that's all I did. I just went back to the drawing board and went back to my regimen of exercising every day, and I'm almost back to near perfect health. 6'1", 180 pounds, no body fat on me anywhere, and I'm happy about that. Still no medication in my system in 62 years, and, you know, didn't even consider it. I just kept to my program, and things have worked out. So I just want to let y'all know also that I talked to Brother Kamal Tambon from the Raleigh-Durham area, and I'm expecting him to join me one of these Friday nights. I contacted him today and left a message hoping that he'll join us on December the 1st. That would be like a 9 o'clock program for some of you that haven't had a chance to catch some of these people of late. I'm in touch with also Brother Marvin X is going to be on next Friday night. Y'all checking me out now next Friday night. And the following week, Brother Kamal. And the following week, I'm trying to get, and I shouldn't have a problem, I just have to confirm with him, Mikasa Ricks of the Black Power name and fame, as we call it. And then I still have a couple more weeks before Harambe is going to take their annual break, Christmas week, here at the network, and so we won't have anyone on. I'll be doing a little upgrading of the technical equipment here and putting in some new stuff that's going to make it a little bit easier to get through next year. Like, I had to limp to the finish line with my eyesight not being what it should have been, and so some of the things I may have done probably just left it alone, because if you can't really see it, it's hard to do much with it. So remember what I said. Hopefully Noam Bon will be on tonight. If he can get through from China. You there, Noam?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I'm hearing you for the first time. Good evening. Oh, well, good morning for you, right?
Yes, good morning. About 9:08 a.m. here in Thailand.
Well, we just found out that we can call you and talk to you that far away, right? Are you hearing me okay?
I'm hearing you fine.
You hear me fine, and I can hear you fine. Well, I was just telling the people out there that we were hoping to have you on tonight, and then I also told them that I'm going to have on Brother Marvin X next week, and the following week, Brother Kamal Kamban out of Raleigh-Durham, and then hopefully the week after that, I'll have Brother Mikasa Rick. So I got like four or five heavies lined up, because I don't plan on being on too much after the first of the year, so if I get you on, I may not be able to get you on. You know, some of the people here, they are running the show where I'm just watching the network go by me, but luckily for me, I have penciled in November, December, and that's why I wanted to get you on, because I haven't had you, well, I haven't been on the air in years, so I haven't had a chance to even call you up to get you on, because, you know, you and I used to rap a little bit while I hosted my program, and then you have to tell the people who you are and how many years you were on Harambe on Monday night, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's always a great pleasure to be on the Harambe. And like you said, talking with you and with the brothers and sisters about the issues. And I was hosting the In the Black show, actually talking about a lot of the issues around economics, development, job creation, community, unity, and particularly around the economics and culture. And for at least 2 years on there, and then of course talking with Mama Kosua and just all of the great hosts on Harambe. So talking on the air, but then also having the offline events where we're doing the Buy Black holiday events and different bringing together different brothers and sisters, and also using the technology, even then talking, you know, about things like the streaming, of course, with Harambe, but also the importance of websites and e-commerce and using a lot of the tools that are available now that brothers like Marcus Garvey and a lot of our great ancestors who connected didn't have at their disposal. And part of my belief has always been that if we use these tools now, we have so many tools that we can use to educate, get messages out. Like you said, here I am in Thailand, you know, 11 miles away, and, you know, speaking with you. And where are you? Are you in Atlanta or D.C.?
I'm right outside.
Florida?
I am right outside of Greensboro, which is...
Greensboro.
Yeah, I'm in a town called High Point, which is... you know, where John Coltrane grew up, and that's probably the only claim to fame here in High Point. But I'm 25 miles I'm 25 miles from the airport in Greensboro, North Carolina. That's where I am officially, if you had a map out. And I've been down this way. My daughter is now 11, and I brought her down here. She was 2 months old. So I've been down here that long, growing, gardening, and doing my street preaching that I like to do when I'm in places that I'm not known too well. I like to get out in the streets every day and run my mouth a little bit. So I'm actually having the time of my life leaving D.C. because, you know, it was a whole bunch of us up in D.C. And I just wanted to know from the D.C. people, can I go somewhere else and let y'all handle the business here? Some people like to go to Atlanta. I just wanted to go back to where my family was sort of located, my older family, and they're all from down this end of the country, not D.C. So it's been quite an experience, man, and, you know, I did Friday Night TV for a long time, and then some of the people came along and said, well, Delani, there's no places left, man. You're going to have to get off your own network to give somebody else a chance to get on there and run their mouth. So that's what I did. I got off of Friday nights, and I wasn't doing any nights until just here recently, finding my way back in the last couple weeks.
Okay.
I'm used to the people hearing me so much that whenever I hear another voice on the line, man, I'm dying for you to come on and run your mouth a little bit.
Well, you know, that's never been a problem for me, brother. You know, so like you said.
Yeah,
because right, I think we would talk for, you know, hours, you know, and there's so many issues. And I think that, you know, one thing is for people to take the conversation and then implement a lot of the things that we give out, because a lot of the solutions are not new. I think it's a matter of implementation. And since I've come over to Thailand, I've been able to get a different perspective. You know, when you're away, it's like you said, looking even at D.C. versus when you're there. You know, if you step back from things, you can kind of get a different perspective. So looking at the things that are going on in the States from Asia, you know, you see things differently, and even in terms of the economics. And one of the things I see is doing more of what Harambe is about, which is actually creating things and creating solutions, and so that we're dealing with the issues, but we're putting alternatives out there and things that people can actually do. And I think, you know, you see, we spend so much time fighting against all of the, you know, the oppression and the, you know, the discrimination and whatnot, that often we're not actually creating the things that we want to create that would actually bring solutions forward, you know? Even as I look at some of the social platforms, you know, that I'm on and look at the conversation, you know, when you're so close to it, I think you don't have that perspective. So, what I've done is really continue, you know, working on solutions, you know, and it's always been, using technology. My background is in technology, of course, and then also in communications. And so I still have the various websites. I have the website blackeconomicdevelopment.com, where I talk about and have been talking about, you know, the economic issues, particularly as it relates to something I've seen, Delani, which is that our situation around the globe, you know, as far as blacks is similar in terms of, you know, ownership and lack of ownership and being able to really, I'm gonna say capitalize on our culture and whatnot and build improving the quality of life through economic, solutions. And that's the thing, even here, like when I in, Asia, like you see, we don't see like the ownership. Here, for example, I can go out and I can find, you know, Mexican areas, even restaurants or whatnot, you know, Korean, I can find, of course, Italian, but, you know, African and even African American, culture and whether it's clothes, food, music, these things are attractive to people around the globe, and they come from us as a people, but to capitalize on them, you know, economically, we don't do. Like, you won't find, you know, a soul food, a nutritious soul food, or any type of soul food restaurant, you know, here. But I can, like I said, I can find these other,
types
of food. Yeah. And that's one of the things that we notice. And then also, I think, like we talked about, this ability now to use things like, pictures and video and audio, you know, to come together, text, of course, and get our messages out and unify us, so that we can, tap into the audience. You know, and Harambe is a great model. You know, we talk about, you know, building an audience and being able to serve that audience with, you know, either information or leverage that audience into, you know, advertisers or sponsors or, you know, things from either, within the community itself or even outside the community if you own it, and be able to use that to improve, you know, the quality of life and pass things on. I mean, it's really like a basic, kind of model. I mean, you see a lot of, you know, different approaches and things layered onto that, but at the root, like what I describe is really the root of all of the media, the massive media, you know, enterprises that we see around the world. I was just reading yesterday, in fact, about, company Mashable, right, being sold, for like $50 million. And the dude who started Mashable, like he started out of his bedroom, like, you know, maybe, I think it was, what, this is 2017, has, like ranked 2013, 2012, around that point.
Yeah. You there? Remember, he's in Thailand, y'all, so he may not be here every second, but he's doing good so far. We'll wait on him to get back. Yeah, he's a technology man. He's been doing this stuff a long time. Yeah, I checked today, and someone wanted to know, somebody called me up, and I had to let them know that Harambe's on in 185 cities and 31 countries around the U.S. of A. and the world, and I'm thankful. I'll let Norm know that, talking about the technology. We started back, it's been 14 years now, coming up in May. And we didn't even know. People were asking, well, are y'all going to be a D.C. station? And I didn't want to be a D.C. station. I know that would be too local for me. So I opted to seek some other means, because back then you could broadcast on a station, but that station wasn't even connected to the Internet like people are on the WOL, and it's worldwide. But back then you were either local or you were not. So I knew that I could wait out the process. I knew I could get enough wires and get enough juice to find out exactly how to be worldwide. And I wasn't really going to do anything else. It was either that or nothing. So I was surrounded by people that kind of guided me on and fed me the right diet to make it happen. And if you don't settle so fast, you know, if you're out here and you are trying to create or do something, go after what you want and then find out what it takes to make that happen. So to find out 14 years later, yeah, that we're on in, you know, 185 different cities and 30-something countries around the globe, I'm really happy about that. And happy to be on a Friday night, man. This used to be my night for 11 years before I moved on. And, you know, maybe coming back the rest of this year until January 1. And then I have Sister Sankofa from out in L.A. If you're out there, good evening. How are you? I talked to you earlier. I thought you may tune in to check out the Norm Bond guest coming on. Norm, you still
there? Can you hear me?
You're back with us. I talked a little while you were gone, because you were out for a minute there. I was just letting people know. I was letting people know that we're on in 185 cities and 30 something countries, getting on down the line, and that's an interesting point. I just wanted you to know that. And also, the point is, I think that when I knew I was going to be talking to you, and I knew you've been in Thailand a while. Give us the background on how that all came about, and how long are you going to be there, and how did that, you know, I don't know any black people in Thailand.
Well, you're not by yourself. You know one, at least, right?
Yeah, I know one, and I want to know, I get nervous if I know Norm Bond is over there. I think I should be catching the next plane over there, because it's got to be something happening over there.
That's right. Well, you know, it's funny, I had been looking actually at getting out of the U.S. for some time. Like, when you go back like 3 years ago, I've been here for 3 years now.
And yeah, and I remember when you left, and I said, wait, what is Norm doing? But you seem comfortable over there, and all the broadcasts and things I saw or emails or anything, you always seemed like you were doing okay. So I didn't bug you. I said, if I ever get him on the radio, he's going to have to tell me how did he just end up, a brother that I know you from Philadelphia, Thailand is a long way away. Yeah.
It is a long way. And, you know, I had been doing some traveling, and I had, you know, been, of course, to Africa, to Egypt, and also Jamaica and the Caribbean, and you know, even in India. And actually, my wife is actually one of the top consultants around for the spa industry, the global spa industry. And so what happened is we both had, you know, there was so much going on in the U.S., particularly around the unlawful killing of black people, black men being shot, you know, and without repercussions. And Brother Delani, you know, I was one like you who, when we would see these things, you know, we would take action. So I was putting up different videos, you know, I was hosting, like we said, on Harambe, I was doing other things. So we felt like it was only a matter of time before, you know, I saw something, pulled out my cell phone and recording a cop, and it would be a matter of time before I would be some type of a hashtag in the U.S.
Yeah.
Anyway. So we were looking at, you know, like, where is it? And as we went around, you know, these different countries, part of what I had done in terms of using information was I was always saying I could work from anywhere. You know, it was like, you know, because I do stuff on the line. Online said, hey, as long as I have a Wi-Fi connection, I can, you know, be in business. Because basically I'm doing social media, showing people how to use these tools, e-commerce. And this is the time that we're in, you know, and I'm been a big advocate of that. My first job was working for IBM as a marketing rep. And then I also sold software, you know, I hosted radio. So I published a magazine. So I was always into communications and saying you can work from anywhere. So when my wife got recruited, actually, to come over to Asia, and we weren't thinking about Asia. Like I said, I was thinking about Ghana or, you know, different places, but she got recruited to come to Asia, and she came over here first, actually. She was in Thailand for about 6 months, and I was still in the States.
And so you think you're going to be there a while?
Yeah, because as I've come over here, what's happened is, you know, part of it was coming over. I had not been to Thailand, and even had we came over here like sight unseen, just to kind of give people an idea of like how you can just, you know,
go somewhere else.
Just go somewhere else, right? You don't have to be stuck in the U.S., and you don't have to be stuck, you know. Now we are literally in a global economy, you know, and if you have the skills, you can really like go somewhere else and make money. You can. Everything, if you think about it, that you need, which is basically a communication platform, right, which we're using right now, which can communicate, you can create, connect to an audience, right, you find a market, you can put some type of distribution to get your product or service to them, that's in place in a number of different ways, and you can create a payment gateway where you can get paid for your services. That's in place with a number of different platforms and ways out there to get done. Those are, and you know, and even if your legal requirements, there's mechanisms for that. So all of the things that you need really to operate in terms of business, even being able to trade value, whether it's U.S. currency, international currency, cryptocurrencies, right? All of these things are already in place and they're being used. This is not theory. These are all practical things that are being done today. And this is what I was saying, even when I was in Philadelphia, in North Philadelphia, you know, talking these things to people. So when my wife said to me, okay, well now, you know, she's over here in Thailand. I was like, you have a chance to really prove it out, like to come
through
it. So that was
the
challenge. You know?
You are always ahead of the crowd, Dorm, so I'm not surprised that you're in Thailand. Not surprised.
But then, you know, it's a difference, Lonnie, you know, when you're on an airplane at 30,000 feet and then you get on the ground, right? Okay, I'm up for the challenge. Okay, well, let me come to Bangkok because I'll be connecting back to people in the States. I'll have my U.S. market because if I'm doing, you know, digital, I can still be on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube and LinkedIn and all these platforms. You know, I can still, you know, show people e-books and things like that. And I can even do consulting. Well, I came over here and none of that happened.
Yeah.
You know, because I was dealing with people, you know, in the States. And so then I ended up having to create and find basically using the same tools but finding – a newer market, you know, and still. So now, what I'm doing actually is I'm working with people that are more international. I'm working with like some folks out of Africa, some people out of India, of course, some people in the States putting information out. But it's become more global. And then what happened also is Thailand is really a gateway to other parts of Asia. So if you look at like Vietnam, you look at, you know, Laos, Singapore, Hong Kong, China, you know, all those things come through, you know, the Philippines, of course, all those things come through Asia, and they have like ASEAN, and, you know, which is like a consortium of different countries and one of these economic pacts of different countries. So, Asia has been, it's been growing as far as the developing region. And then the tools, the skills I'm learning in terms of even like what the platform we're on now and learning, it's forced me to better use digital technology because I can't be in touch with people now in the States without using, in a practical way, like communication tools and the websites and so forth. So, whereas when I was in Philly, it was easier because you don't, we often don't realize when we're in the States, the quality of the communication. Like the U.S. really has the best of all of the technology in terms of like you just saw my call drop, you know, here. I'm on the wireless here now. Now I'm on my computer. I was on my phone earlier. I switched to the computer. And now I'm on, the modem is plugged into the computer. But even at the speed, the things I noticed as a technical person, and you would appreciate, the speed here, the download speed is about half of what it would be in the States. You know, in the States you've got like, you know, cable, modem, whatnot. Here it's behind, and that's what we miss, right? So we can still do it. Like I can still do all these things, but not at the, you know, the speed and the quality that you have in the U.S., which you kind of take for granted.
When you're here.
US. That's right. Compared to even if we were in Africa, right, or in the developing nations, as they like to refer to them, which, of course, now, like I said, I'm being in Asia, but also what I'm seeing is the tremendous amount of interest in Africa, you know, of course. But even because Asia is kind of now being, is being developed, is still developing, but a lot of the attention now as far as the future is on Africa, and it's already happening, of course, that you've seen the Chinese and other people come and invest all across Africa. So the point I guess I'm making is we're in this global time. We have the tools at our disposal. It's a matter of being creative and then implementing and executing and knowing that it's real. And I think a lot of times what people need to see are examples of people doing it to make it really believable for them. Because I think people can talk about, okay, well, we can do this, and this is the technology that we can use. And like now, even people who are listening to us now who might think, okay, they may have heard that they could use the internet and a mobile phone to talk to someone in Asia. But now their whole belief level has changed because they're actually hearing someone in Asia speaking to someone at High Point, and it's real. So no one can say to them, oh, well, it's a theory. I don't know if that actually works. No, it actually
may not
works.
be able to do it. You're talking.
Right. That's right. And that's what I think, like, those of us who are doing these things, and this is where it's great, like, even the guest lineup you mentioned, like, to bring brothers and sisters on who are actually doing it, to increase the belief, because I think what happens to our people often is we just don't, like, it's the belief, like, or the, you know, we don't, whereas other cultures might see examples and they don't have that doubt. And I think it's a psychological thing with us that, because all the pieces are in place. You know, look at all of the talent that black people have. I mean, African Americans, just so much talent, whether you talk about, you know, you can pick whatever field of endeavor, business, science, education, you name it, fashion. But then when I'm here, even in Asia, sometimes when I turn on the television here and look at, you know, hip-hop being modified to be offered to an Asian audience. And I'm looking at it like, look at them just stealing black
people. Stealing you like crazy.
And packaging it into a commercial and watching, you know, ties or, you know, rap, you know, or the fashion sense, or the hair, you know, these types of things, the food, you know.
Yeah.
And so to know that this is, this, to me, and I'm not, you know, I'm just saying this, we need to take more ownership of that because we can be that example, and it's great to see the people who come on Harambe and who are actually doing it, and I think by highlighting them and then what I say is then building and get more of us and growing the size of that audience and being able to then trade with each other and move the services and the money. That's to me like the next level of what needs to happen. So where I am is looking to be that example of that. Like you said, I've always been out in front of this, which is kind of like, you know, from what you're doing, it's a risky situation when you're out front because often it's like when you introduce a product, you know, and they say, well, you know, you got the early adopters and you got your innovators. It's not, but those two groups are probably 15% or less of the market. The early adopters might be just 2% of a market. So you're talking about if there are 100 customers, you're talking about you got like two of them.
Yeah.
You make enough money off of two people to sustain your business long enough to get to the other 98%.
Well, it's good to have you on tonight because we've had people on Harambe from Dubai. You know where that is, right? Dubai. And they come on, and they're coming on, I guess they said 8 o'clock in the morning to do, you know, whatever. What would that be? That's like a 10 o'clock show. That's who the host knows, a brother that used to be here that's still there. And so we've done that over the years, that particular program. Whenever he mentions that, I says, yeah, you know, we just got to keep testing. We can't look at it and say, well, it's too many hours away because we've already proven. So you coming on tonight is just like a reinforcement that we can continue to make this stuff happen. Now, what happened to me, Norm, back in 2006, I was trying to get up out of the United States and take Harambe, as everybody knows it, down to Belize. I wanted people to come down, and as that plane is coming down, I wanted some kind of structure to have Harambe on the top, like a roof, where you know you down in Delaney's joint now, Harambe. And I was almost there. I spent like 9 days down there, was able to work out everything. But my daughter that everybody knows now as Amira, that's on Black Learning Channel and has done a ton of radio and stuff around the country, was inside her mommy's womb, impregnated, and we had to come back to the United States, not because I was afraid of anything, but it was the mother's first child. She was 35 years old, pregnant with my daughter, and she wanted to go back to the United States. So we came back. My daughter has grown up here in High Point since she was 2 months old, and we never got back. You know, like sometimes you may have the dream, and you may have the means, but you got. It's not just the technical stuff. It's human nature, and she didn't want to be out of Baltimore having a baby because once you go down there, Belize is a great place for somebody that's, once you get away from Belize City, there's no high rises, there's no McDonald's, there's no none of that stuff. It's like a great place to go. But if you are having a baby or anything else, you got to get on a plane to get your teeth worked on. I mean, it's a different kind of country, but you got to know that. So I'm still trying to get back to my original retirement home because that's when I left D.C., that's where I was supposed to have been going. That's where everybody was looking for me to bring back the word of where black folks that don't want to go halfway around the world, where's a better place. Well, you know, I went down and checked out Belize, and, you know, I took $500, and they gave me $1,000 back. That's a two-for-one money exchange down there. And the language is Spanish. I mean, that's Spanish, English. And they had teller machines and all that stuff down there just like they do everywhere else. So I was able to go away from home, come back to Harambe and tell everybody, but I wasn't able to follow up with my daughter being in her mommy's stomach. And that's been my big hurdle there is not so much the means or technology, but everybody don't have the same plan. A lot of people think they may like going to Thailand, and I'm glad that's working out because we got to have people like Norm Bond that will stretch his wings out and do that.
Yeah, and then I think, like you said, a lot of the skills are transferable because I feel like here I'm gonna be here because, like I said, it's a gateway to Asia, but also I could be in Africa or Belize, you know, because like you said, the internet, the ATMs, all these things that are the infrastructure is in place to do things globally and internationally in ways that, you know, a lot of our ancestors couldn't even imagine. I mean, I myself, a lot of the things that we do with technology now, I couldn't even imagine, you know, just in my lifetime. Like, you know, when we started, I mean, I have a master's in information science, but when I looked at the things that, like, look at the progress from when we were doing dial-up with receiving, you know, the little floppy disk in the mail to pop into a computer to get onto AOL for 60 hours free versus being able now to FaceTime with people. You know what I mean? It's in real time on video in two directions from around the world.
Yeah, we're doing conference call. We're doing conference calling on Harambe with hundreds of people online. When we started out, we could only get one person. That was the person you dialed into. There was no other alternate ways of doing it. Even Brother Keaty and I were struggling with that. And you know, so thankful that we've hung around, didn't quit on it. I'm really glad that I didn't quit, because I can't really call too many people up that can relate to some of the things I'm trying to get solved in my lifetime. People said, well, Delani, you already in front of us, man. You do Harambe. You trying to do something different than that? It's like, yeah, I'm always thinking about, you know, what's the next step. You know, we were doing television pretty good about 5 years ago, you know, when some of the hosts were coming on live TV. And, you know, and then you run out of juice, and you just, you know, you got to always have that energy to stay up and stay active and keep doing it. Well, I guess you know, Norm, that I was out most of this year because I was legally blind. I had run into some cataract retina problems. So I'm just now getting back. And I don't know whether you knew this, but Hamza Sid Catholic Bay, you know, passed about 3 weeks ago down in Atlanta. Who was on Friday nights? He was in the slot we're in now, 9 to 10. This is where he was for many years, and you know, ex NBA basketball player, and I guess what you want to say, Notre Dame and DeBatha player. But he was part of my team, man, from way back when we started out in DC. So you never know, you know, you just hang around and just get the work done that you can get done, and anything else is gravy.
Yeah, it's great to hear you. And I did know about Brother Hamza, and then but I didn't know the details. I knew because when you're here, the thing is, I'm 12 hours ahead, and now and then when and that's because you're now in what's it, standard time. But when even I'm either 11 compared to like New York City and East Coast, I'm normally 11 hours or 12 hours ahead. So it's almost literally on the other side of the world, you know. And so often, a lot of things I get are recorded, or I'm like a day ahead or a day behind, you know, with the information.
Yes.
And even with talking to people, a lot of times they either have to be scheduled or recorded. So I keep up thanks to the technology, but often, you know, to get to be up in real time, it doesn't work. But it's good to hear you and you know, see what that one, like you said, you've been able to keep things going, because that's part of, I think, the challenge of it and the reward of it too, is to keep it going, because often you get things going and then you let them go, and then along comes the next person and they pick up where you, it's like you were almost there, and then they pick it up and they just kind of take it over the goal line, you know?
Yes, exactly.
In business they call it the second mover advantage, even is a name for that, right? Where the second person is the one who has the advantage, because the first person came in and got all the arrows in their back, and now the enemy's run out of arrows, and along comes the second person and takes it over the goal line. So the fact that, you know, we can, that you stayed in and we can stay in is really, really, you know, one is praiseworthy and is commendable, and certainly I'm glad that, you know, you're back on. And, you know, it's like I said, we have so many tools and so many things that are similar. And I know one of the things that I've also been looking at here was when I came over here, I was working a lot with freight forwarders, and also looking at different holidays that come up, because like right now I know everyone is getting ready for Black Friday, or you know, and so one of the things that I've done, I came over here and I started seeing the different holidays here, like Mother's Day here, where people talk about Mother's Day. When I came over here, they were having Mother's Day, but Mother's Day was for the queen, because Thailand is also a monarchy. It's a king and a queen.
Okay.
The king and the king died actually a year ago, and they had a year of mourning for the king. Everyone was wearing black, and you know, a lot of the celebrations were toned down. It just ended actually this month, October, October. But
okay,
the point is, what I picked up on were all of these different holidays that were going on, and some of the things that we would take for granted in the U.S., even the big winter holidays, your Christmas, your, Thanksgiving in the States, Halloween, when I came over to Thailand, and then I was dealing with people in Dubai and in Turkey, in Africa, those holidays don't exist, but a lot of them have their own national holidays and these huge celebrations. So one of the ideas I came up with was I documented a lot of these holidays, and I came up with a ebook that I called Holiday Marketing and How to Make Money Online by Tapping into Holidays, because there's trillions of dollars that are spent. We know, like I said, with the Black Friday, what will be spent in the U.S., but in China, there's a huge holiday called Singles Day, which generates about 5 to 6 times as much money as generated during Black Friday. And actually, it's on 11-11, because that's what they call it. It's all 4-1s, 11. They call it Singles Day, and it's done primarily online with Alibaba. Kind of co-opted it from some college students. But the point is, I then created this ebook, and I've been sharing a lot of information to help people, because even in Belize, I'm sure like there's a national day, there's certain days that you can find. And what I said to people is that you can target a holiday, a festival, and actually build a whole economic opportunity for yourself, because people will want to go to those locations to celebrate holidays. It also can open you up to talk to tourism departments, because a big part of the revenue for a lot of these countries is tourism dollars and room nights, and how much you're going to spend if you come in terms of gifts, and a lot of people want experiences. So I looked at that. Also, I looked at being able to offer like freelance skills. There's even things like people do where they want house sitters or they want pet sitters. So there's a whole host of opportunities that can be created and capitalized on around holidays all year long. And so that was one of my projects that I created, this ebook, you know, How to Make Money Online with Holiday Marketing. So I did that. I also did an ebook around LinkedIn and how to use LinkedIn to generate leads and to generate sales and to be able to tap into a professional market of people also around the globe. And that's the thing. I think one of my little slogans I came up with was Act Local, Market Global. So because I think that wherever you are, whether you're in High Point, like you said, you go out onto the street, get your preaching on the street.
Yeah.
You can act in your local market, but you can also market globally. Just 2 weeks ago, I was at an event here in Thailand where it was connecting Korean gamers who came to Thailand to tap into the audience in Bangkok for gamers. And so they had a whole delegation of gamers, people who create, games, whether these are apps, these are games you can play on your phone, on your computer, and you can play them, you know, with teams and connect with people around the world. But the Koreans who came here wanted to tap in, and they felt like this was a big community for them. And they hosted a networking event. Of course, they had, investors were there at the event. Developers were there, and I was looking at that and saying, you know, these are the types of things that are going on, like these types of trade junkets. Like, how do you connect? And it wasn't put on by the government. These were just entrepreneurs, and they, you know, and most of the people, the organizers of it came from Singapore. So it was like it was a real international flavor to the event. But you had Korea, Bangkok, Singapore, and then of course people came from all around really Asia. So you had some people who were there from the Philippines, some people from Vietnam. So the point I'm making is that if for black people and people are listening, is to think outside of, you know, just the U.S. but act in your local community. But a lot of the things that we have can be packaged, and it's tremendous opportunity. Like even now. To tap in, because I've been getting, and I'm sure most of the people who listen will hear and see a lot of promotion around this whole Black Friday and this whole, I've been getting things, of course, about even Thanksgiving. But if you ever think about how much money, how many turkeys are sold for Thanksgiving?
A whole bunch of them.
You could make a living off of the cranberry sauce revenue.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying? So this is what, and often like we, what I found is that we are often only thinking as the consumers of these different experiences. And some people will come into an experience that black people have been doing for 30 years or more, and it'll be their first time, and they're from outside of the community, and they immediately will say, you know what? They got their camera out, they're taking photos. Next thing you know, they got a coffee table book, or they've got a blog set up, or they've got some type of commercial opportunity they've created. And this is what I'm saying, that opportunity is available to all of us.
We just want to burn them down. That's all we want to do, right? We found out somebody that invaded our little turf, our little holidays. Our answer is to burn them down, not to compete back.
Right.
Look,
exactly.
Norm, let me do this. Let me do this. I want to first say that tuned in and don't know who you're talking to. That's Norm Bond, formerly out of Philadelphia, or at least that's where I know him from, who's now over in Thailand, one of the very few times you'll get a chance to talk to a brother that's in Thailand on his own volition. He ain't over there because he's locked up. He's over there because he's living over there. So Norm Bond is with me tonight, and then next week I'm going to have Marvin X on out of the Bay Area is where he has been most of his life. Of course, I've run across Marvin at the LOX conference and other places. So he's coming on next Friday, and the following Friday I'm going to have Brother Kamal on, and then the following Friday going to have Black Power Mikasa Ricks join us, and after that, it's going to be almost time to end the year, and Harambe won't be on Christmas week at all. We're going to be shutting it down, and I'm going to be trying to do some maintenance here with hooking up some new stuff for you folks into the next year. So again, tonight, Norm Bond. Norm, have you always been out of Philly? I know you're from Philly, but is that your hometown?
Yeah, I'm from Philly native. I went to school in Pittsburgh, and then I worked all the different parts of the U.S. I worked in Atlanta for a while when I worked with IBM. I worked in Harrisburg, Denver, Inglewood, actually, Colorado. But, you know, grew up in Philadelphia, then went to University of Pittsburgh, and then, you know, left really to come to Thailand 3 years ago, and just been, but that's my bay. Most of my family and whatnot is, there in Philly. And
that's been your staple, man. Philadelphia, the LOX conference, that's been that's where everybody knows.
Well, the thing is, Delani, like I said to people, like, it's funny, the LOX conference, one of the things I've noticed over here is that there's no real, like, hair product. That's one of the challenges here. Here, like maintenance products and whatnot, but again, this is where e-commerce can come into play, right? A lot of the tools and the things that we use now, the only limit is really, I think, the creativity of the people and the willing to work together and tap into people like yourself to have networks. But Philadelphia is definitely the base. And still, like even now, a lot of the things I do look at, well, what time is it in the States? You know, if I look at my phone and my computer, and again, look at the tools, I've set up different calendars and alarms that work on U.S. time, work on East Coast time, because even though I'm physically in Thailand, most of the business that I do is still outside of time. You can actually use a place as sort of like your base of operations, but you can still act globally, and collect money internationally. Most of the people who's interested I meet here, very few people, not only black people, but even a lot of the Europeans I meet are not from Thailand. I've met a lot of people from England, the UK, from Australia, where else? A lot of people, of course, from the Philippines. So,
where can the people contact you on Facebook or whatever it is that you have that you would like to stay in touch with the people? Where can they reach out to you?
The easiest way is if you go to my website, normbond.com is my main site. So if you just put in Norm Bond into Google, I own like the first three pages of Google for Norm Bond. So if you just put in Norm Bond on the internet, I'll pop up. And then the website, Black Economic, if they want to go to blackeconomicdevelopment.com, a lot of information around economics, the book I mentioned, holiday marketing, how to make money online, holiday marketing. That's on there. And, of course, like you said, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Skype, Instagram. So if you just put me in, I'm pretty – being a marketer and a digital marketer, I'm pretty easy to locate. But the simple way, like I said, put in Norm Bond. My email is norm@normbond.com, norm@normbond.com. And then, you know, we'll be connected.
Yeah. Okay, y'all got that? That was pretty good. You got some information that you can connect to later. That's what we do here at Harambe. We network and get things done, man. It's been just great being able to talk to you again, man, after me being out of commission for a while, man. It's good to hear voices
The last time I saw you, Brother Lonnie, was at the Locks Conference. I definitely want to give a shout-out to Mama Kosua and the whole team that put that on. But that's where, like you said, we were – the last event I did probably in the States was I was a speaker at the Locks Conference. And
yeah, we've done some panel discussions there. I know some panel discussions
right.
along the way. And it's been a great event, man. I love the Locks Conference. And you know, the doctor wouldn't let me fly this year because I had a gas bubble holding my detached retina. And Norm, I just want to let you know, man, that in spite of all the stuff that's happened to me this year, I haven't had one down day, man. I've kind of been positive about the whole thing, and I'm starting to be able to see and get around and can drive now, can read my email again, can use a debit card to pay a bill, because at some point when I was legally blind, man, I was like an invalid. I couldn't hardly keep from burning the house down. So I'm thankful, man, that I have made it back, you know, in my 14th year of doing Harambe. Every minute has been worth it. I appreciate every single phone call, all the emails, and, you know, people were really worried because a lot of us, we have a fall like that, man, we don't get back, you know. Hamza, for example, man, he had a little brain aneurysm, and the next thing you know, you're hearing that he's transitioning and he's gone. The brother I came along with up in D.C. back in the day with DeMasa High School and Austin Carr and the whole deal, and so I'm thankful that somehow or another I'm still here and still holding the fort down, man, just trying to, you know, I appreciate each and every day after, like I said, not being able to see my hand in front of my face for 9 months now able to start to maneuver around and all the surgery, everything's gone fairly well. So I know when I started Harambe, I couldn't figure out how long I was going to go in the initial cycle. You know, we say, can I do 5 years? And 10 would be like out of the question. And then it went from 10 to now that I know I'm going to do 20, I'm really happy about that. You know, 20 and still getting around fairly good. Being able to call up my friends over in Thailand. I mean, that's taking advantage of the situation, right?
Yes, sir. Yes. Well, look, anything I can do, Brother Delaney, you know, I'm here. Now, like I said, I wanted to jump on because this is my first connection, you know, and I'm glad it's with Harambe and with you and just the history. And there's so much going on in the States. That's part of what I see. There's so many issues that I can, like, you know, learn stuff here and see how folks are doing, not just here in Thailand, but some of the things I pick up from people from the UK and from India.
Oh, you got some information, man. You got some information. I know that.
People, man, that's really what it's about, you know, to me. It's like, how do we, like, leave that legacy so that people can pick it up and just advance and we can make progress in our lifetime and advance.
Yeah.
That's what it's about. And Harambe has done that. You've done that. You, like you said, even through challenges that would have knocked, you know, a lot of average people off their mark, and you wouldn't have heard from them, even with not even as serious of a challenge that you dealt with. And so this is what I'm saying. You're setting an example for everyone who might be thinking about their situation and, oh, I got, you know, today I can't get two turkeys. I can only get one. And then
have gone through some stuff. Well, look, I got a... What's that?
Can you hear me,
Delaney?
That's the President General of the UNIA, Norm Bond, to say hey to you. You're not single.
Norm, I just want to say hello to you, man, and I'm so glad to hear your voice, my brother. I'm so glad you're doing well, and I got all the information. I want to welcome you back to the Harambe Airways, brother.
Thank you, Thank you, my brothers. I really appreciate it, and I'm looking forward. I love to connect with you. After this, and anything I can do, of course, I'm there. I really appreciate, obviously, the UNIA and the great work that you've done.
I'll send you a copy of your program, man. But I gotta go. I got a brother waiting to get on. Out of Chicago. I'm good to have you, man. Okay, Harambe.
Harambe.
All right, y'all be good. Hey, PG, thanks for calling in, man.